John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Well, as we look at this chapter and look at some of these verses, we're going to notice that Christ has given some clear-cut teaching about what our responsibility is and what our duty is as a Christian. Amen. And so as we look at this morning, we'll look intently into seeking that God will really speak to our hearts and help us to be very conscientious of what Christ is teaching us through the Word of God and through to his disciples specifically. And really important, I believe, you know, what the Bible says about the Christian life and our duty and what we must do as God's people. So there in John chapter number 15 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. And that's very important. God's words abiding in you. Because it's God's word that makes you who you are as a Christian. Amen. So, and my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for this morning. And Father, I do pray that you would just have your will and your way, Lord, in our hearts. And I do pray, Father, that our hearts had been prepared, that we have spent time in your word this morning, that we are ready to receive whatever you have for us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would just help us to be humble. Help us to submit to the authority of the Scriptures in our lives. Help us to understand what you have for us and what our responsibility is in this dear life that you want us to live, the Christian life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just, Lord, have your way. Lord, that we indeed would be humble and submit ourselves to thee. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would work in my heart. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm in need of help every day. Lord, without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can do all things. Lord, I love you and I thank you for all that you will do here in all of our hearts here this morning. Lord, I love you and I thank you in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You know, life is our most precious possession. It is very precious. You know, we should never take it for granted, life that we have right now. I'm talking about physical life, but I'm also talking about spiritual life. You know, right now, you're either wasting your life, spending your life, or investing your life. You know, it all depends upon you, what decision you make, and the course that you follow in your life. You know, Jesus said this in John 10, verse 10, "Be, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly." And Jesus came, he says he's going to give us life. And that's eternal life he's talking about. He's speaking about this eternal life. You know, Jesus came to give us this everlasting life. As John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I'm wondering here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you have everlasting life in your religion? Do you have it? I'm telling you, dear believer, it's only in Christ. I'm telling you, sinner here this morning, it's only in Christ, this life that we can enjoy. It's only in Christ. It's not in religion. Oh, dear believer, dear sinner here this morning, the Bible goes on to say in John 10, verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." You know, Jesus Christ didn't just stop by just giving us eternal life. He wanted us to enjoy the abundant life. Amen. The life that Christ has imparted to us. The life that we've been given through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all we need and really to live the Christian life. That's all what we really need. You know, we're not looking for a second blessing. We're not looking for some super powerful anointing from God. I'm telling you, dear believer, that if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have all of Christ when you got saved. There's nothing that's been left out, as Ephesians chapter 1 describes to us. We've been given all the blessings, all the riches of Christ to live the Christian life. But what we must do is we need to allow Christ, we need to allow the authority of the Scriptures to mature us into spiritual maturity. It takes time to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Amen. I would say that each one of you, when you received Jesus Christ, you didn't know everything about Christ, did you? I'm sure you didn't. It took you time to know all the doctrines about Christ, all what Christ has done for you, all what He's blessed you with. You know, you don't know everything immediately. You have salvation, yes. You're saved eternally. But there has to be a growth process in the Christian life. There has to be a living relationship with Jesus Christ is what must take place. You know, salvation is only the starting point. It is only the is the basis of our relationship, where it begins with Christ. Before that, we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We didn't know Christ. We were lost, on our way to hell. Didn't know Jesus Christ. Oh, dear believer, Jesus gave us this abundant life. Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I hope you are. Sad to say, many Christians are happy of just saying, "Hey, I'm saved. That's good enough for me." I've met several just on the road. "Hey, I'm happy that I'm just saved. I go to church. I'm a good person." You know, but that's not enough. Jesus wants us to surrender everything to Him. All of our heart, all of our body, all of our mind. You know, the Bible teaches that. It really does. He wants everything. He doesn't want just a heart. You know, He wants our mind. He wants our soul, is what He wants. Everything is what God is really interested in. Oh, dear believer, dear Christian here this morning, the Christian life is more than just being saved. It's knowing and having a real relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, this life can be yours right now. You don't have to wait for a second blessing. You don't have to wait for some super anointing of God. Amen. Because if you're saved here this morning, you have all of Jesus right now. What you must do is yield yourself to that authority of Christ, to the authority of the Word of God in your life, and allow Him to grow you. Oh, dear believer, are you experiencing the abundant life? You know the phrase "more abundantly," when Jesus said it, it means beyond measure, excessively far above. You know, this is wanting us to experience. You know, I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a relationship experience. Are you really having a relationship that's far above, excessively, beyond measure with Christ? I'm telling you, you can be always at a state of revival. Amen. Now, understanding, you know, Christ revived us. You know, we don't have to go back to the old self. Paul makes it very clear we're supposed to put off the old man and put on the new man. We're supposed to grow. I believe wholeheartedly that it doesn't just, the Christian life doesn't just stop at salvation. There's a growth process. There really, really is. We need to understand that there has to be this growth process. There has to be this understanding that it has to be God's word that's maturing me. And if we're vibrantly in the word of God, we're vibrantly taking part of our prayer life and really communicating with God, we won't need to have special meetings of revival. I believe if we would have a real heart for God, I mean a real heart for God, we would always be in that state of always constant revival. We would always be revived. At salvation, we were revived. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were dead spiritually. We have been made alive in Christ and Him alone. He's the one that's going to live the Christian life in and through us. He's the one that's going to do it. We in ourselves, we have no power to live the Christian life, because it's a divine life. It's a life that God's imparted to us. Amen. It's a life that God's imparted to us, not that we deserved it. We don't deserve salvation. We need to come to that. We don't deserve it. We have violated God's law. And we need to understand that if we're violators of God's law, we need Christ to revive us, to make us alive. Because it says in the Bible that when Adam took of that fruit, Adam took of that fruit, he disobeyed God. Willingly, he willingly disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. Therefore, because of his disobedience, man fell, made him sinners because of that disobedience. You look at that, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Because of one man's disobedience, all became sinners. But for one man's obedience, all are alive unto God. Revival. Been revived. Made alive in Christ is what we have been. I'm not talking about, you know, any kind of special anointing. I'm really talking about a real living relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, dear believer, if we really mean business and we really do have a heart for God, we would live as Christ expects us to live if we yield ourselves to God's word, to the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to Christ's authority. That's what I'm talking about. It's the Christ life living through us. Amen. None of us can live the Christian life. Only Christ can do it. We must yield ourselves. You know, in our Lord's message about the vine and the branches, Jesus points out a great spiritual truth here, I believe, about living. And the key, I want to share this with you, the key to living is fruit bearing. The key to really living is fruit bearing. Because we have a purpose. We have a responsibility to fulfill. We truly live. We're really in Christ. We'll be bearing fruit in the Christian life is what we'll be doing. You know, the world seems to have an identity crisis. And you can see that all around when you go from door to door. There are a lot of people hurting. And they say, who am I? They're asking these questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? All over in BC, all over in Alberta, all over in Saskatchewan, all over in Manitoba, all over in Ontario. There are people saying, hey, people that are without Christ, they're saying, what is my purpose? Who am I really? Am I just an amoeba? Am I just something that evolved into a human being? No. God created you for a specific purpose and a specific task. And he wants to work in you that he may work through you, is what God wants to do. Oh, dear believer, you know what, the child of God, we should never have this identity crisis. We should never have it. Understand that the world does. They wonder why. But the Christian should never have this identity crisis. Because Jesus makes it very clear who we are and why we are here. We are here as branches, and he is that vine. So we're engrafted in the living vine in Jesus Christ. Once we came to a living relationship with Jesus Christ, when we came to Christ at salvation, we made this fellowship with God. And so how do we become this vine in Christ? Well, this branch in Christ, the vine. Well, it's pretty simple. It's all what you must do is trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's all what you must do. You have to trust Jesus. You can't trust in Mary. You can't trust in Buddha. You can't trust in Allah. You got to trust in Jesus and him alone for salvation. So what you must do is, number one, you have to realize who you are. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous. No, not one. Not a one of us. Before we came to Christ, we're righteous enough in God's eyes to merit, to attain, to receive salvation. We had to see that, hey, we're unrighteous. We're lost. We're sinners. And that leads us to the next conclusion is this. We need to see that there's a penalty placed upon us. There's a penalty awaiting all those that are without Christ. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. You know, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about in a church. I'm not talking about Mary. I'm not talking about, you know, Buddha or Allah. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted in Christ, there's death awaiting you, because there's sin that you can never atone for. Never. Even in eternity, separated from God in a place, in a destination called hell, you would never pay for it. It's for eternity, is what it is. It's eternity. You know how long eternity is? Forever. You know how long forever is? Everlasting. It'll never end. There will be no period at the end. Finished. There'll be just an exclamation mark, continuing. It's all what it will be. Is this going to continue? It's just whoa. We need to realize if you're here without Christ, that very penalty, that punishment is placed upon you. But praise the Lord, there's something else to that verse there in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Now, what's the gift of God? Well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But also in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended, he showed his love. He showed us his love. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, we were under that penalty. We're not righteous in the eyes of God. Not a one of us. Not righteous enough. We have this penalty. But there's that person, the person of Christ, who came as an infant, grew up, ministered, and died for mankind. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, took our penalty, took the wage that we could never pay. He took it willingly. Say, I'll go. I'll pay for it. Because I love them. You know, God loved you. That's why he says there in John 3:16, for God so loved you. That's why he also says there in John 15, verse 13, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, God had you in mind when he sent his son, his only son, to die for you. Oh, dear sinner here this morning, if you realize that who you are, you're a sinner, you're not righteous. You have that penalty, that wage. God's justice is being met upon your life right now. But if you just see and believe that Jesus Christ, he's the one that died for you. He's the one that gave you life. He's the one that's wanting to give you eternal life. Oh, dear sinner here this morning, all you have to do is receive. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You have to receive Jesus. Repent of your sins. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You have to realize that. You're a sinner. Forgive me. I receive you to come into my heart and save me. That's what you have to, you know, see those very things. If you want to have a real relationship with Christ, that's where it begins. So that's how we become this branch in Christ, the living vine. You know, you and I, here as believers, you and I have a living relationship with Christ. You and I are not just simply a member of some religious group or organization. You are a branch, you're a living branch in a living vine. Do you believe that Jesus is alive today? I believe he's alive. He's evermore in heavens. He's sitting there right at the right hand of God. And he's praising God. I believe he is. And he's worshiping God. And he is obeying God's every command. Because he is God. He's bound by the authority of his word. He's got to keep it. There's no other way about it. Oh, dear believer, we're not just simply a member of some religious group. When you got saved, this living union was formed between you and your Lord. This living union. You know, just as the branch gets life from the vine, so the believer gets life from Jesus Christ. That's why it's so vitally important that when you got saved, that was just a start of your relationship with God. We need to grow. He's that life. He's the one that's going to help you grow in the Christian life. He's the one that's going to help you serve in the Christian life. Oh, dear believer, it's very important that Service in a church can never replace a relationship with God. It can never replace it. If you think that way, you are going to be in spiritual poverty and thinking that you can just serve and serve and serve in the church and then you think you can grow. I'm telling you, you won't grow if you just serve. You'll burn out is what you'll do. Because all your serving is not going to help you. You see there with Maria and Mary there at the feet of Jesus, where Maria was cumbered about with so much serving, and yet she missed out the most important person in her life, and that was Jesus, sitting at the feet of Jesus, fellowshiping with him, learning at the feet of Jesus. I'm telling you, the more you learn, the better you will serve Christ. The more you learn, the more you have a heart for Christ. The more you learn, you'll find your purpose, and you'll get in there, and you'll work for Christ. Oh, dear believer, there's so much to the Christian life. We need to remember that the reason why God saved us is that we're here to bear fruit for him, for his honor and his glory. That's all. It's not for ourselves. We're but servants. We have a privilege to have a living relationship with Christ, not because we deserve it, because of the blessings of Christ bestows upon us. We've been blessed with eternal life. The only natural thing for us to do is to bear fruit for God, to honor and glorify him. That's the only thing that really matters, to glorify God with our lives. And if we do that by having this living relationship with God, I believe we'll be fruitful. Say, God, what can I do? Wasn't that the response of the Apostle Paul when he met Christ at the road to Damascus? That's what happened to him. When he began the Christian life there at the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? God, what are you going to do? What am I supposed to do for you, Lord? You know, that should be the heart of every believer. What can I do? What's my responsibility? What's my duty as a Christian? You know, we need to really see real Christianity in action in our day and age. And I really believe even in Canada, we need to see real Christianity lived out in the world today. We hear so much of this worldly type Christianity. What about this true Christianity? Christianity of the Bible. Amen. What about that? What about that Christianity? Oh, dear believer, there is a reason why God saved you. You're here to bear fruit for him and honor and glorify him in your life. I want to just note a very, very important truth that I want to give you this morning. The branch, you know, the branch that's in the vine, the branch does not bear fruit for the branch to eat. You understand that? You as a branch in Christ, as you bear fruit for Christ, it's not for yourself. You realize that? So the branch does not bear fruit for the branch to eat, but for others to eat is what it is. You know, God lived for others. Jesus Christ lived for others. He didn't live for himself. He could have, but then he would have no longer been God anymore. He wouldn't have been loving. He wouldn't have been merciful. Oh, dear believer, It's for others. Christ lived for others, that others may partake. Christ died for others, that they may have life in Jesus Christ. Oh, dear believer, we need to understand that this life is for every one of us. And that's why we're here. We are here to bear fruit for others. It's to glorify God is what it is. It's to glorify God. That's why. You know, now, what is this fruit that God wants us to bear? Well, that's a really interesting question. What is this fruit that God wants us to bear? Well, first of all, winning others. Now, you probably think, oh, that's obvious. Well, it's pretty obvious. But it's the one of the main reasons why we are here. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for others. Winning others to Christ and helping them grow is fruit. Winning others to Christ. Oh, you know, it's important that we go out and tell people about Christ. But it's even more importantly that we live what we tell them. Because, you know, the world's very wise. It is. That's why Christ told his disciples that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. If Christ told that to his disciples, I think Christ was trying to admonish his disciples to wisen up. Hey, we need to understand that there's spiritual poverty. There are those that are without Christ that need Jesus Christ, that need him. You know, because without Jesus Christ, they're going to go to a place called hell and they will be eternally damned there in the lake of fire. Oh, if we would just get a glimpse of hell, I believe it would change our lives. It really would. A preacher asked me once, what happened to you when you got saved? I was changed. Never the same. You know what he told me? This is an older preacher. You know what he told me? He said, Jesus did the same thing for me. He changed me completely. You know, we need to live this changed life in front of others. Living it, preaching it. Oh, it's, you know, we come to a place of Christianity that has come far too complacent. We need to live it. Really live Christianity. I believe if Christians would get serious about the Christian life, I believe more people would come to Christ. If Christians would really have a heart for God, more people would come to Christ. Well, we're doing all that we can. It's Canada is so dark. Canada is such a wicked nation. So is every other nation that are without Christ. So is every other nation that they're dark in their trespasses and sins. Oh, we have a responsibility, dear believer. If we truly believe that we have a living relationship with Jesus Christ, we would get serious about what Christ is commanding us to do. Every one of us can have a part in some way of God's wonder and glorious plan to reach mankind. Oh, dear believer, we need to win others to Christ. I'm not talking about this easy believism type stuff. I'm talking about, you know, going out there, seeing people really saved, and not just leaving them there, but helping them grow. Disciple them. Bring them into the church house. I believe that's going to be the fulfillment of the Great Commission. It's not enough just getting them saved and then just hope they come to church. No, they need some prodding. Just as God's sheep need prodding to live the correct Christian life and to live holy and just lives, so does a new convert. It needs to be prodded. It needs to be pushed in the right direction and guided in that direction. Oh, dear believer, it's so important that we understand that the Great Commission is not just about winning others to Christ. It's about discipling and seeing them do the same thing as well. I believe wholeheartedly, if we would get serious, we go tell one person about Jesus Christ. Just one. Just each and every one of us would find one person. That would multiply this room by the number that's in here right now. But it's by one time. Everyone would go get one person. Every one of us would be that beggar that would go bring the living bread to another beggar, that they may partake of that living bread. I'm telling you, dear believer, that person would go tell someone else. You know, I understand it takes time. Sometimes people get saved, like God's been working in their heart, and God's been just doing a tremendous work of grace in their lives, and then they get saved immediately. But that heart's been prepared. We need to go out because the heart has already been prepared. The harvest is already white, ready unto harvest. It's ready. All what we must do is be diligent in the Great Commission, diligent in our responsibility. Go out and sow the seed of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we must do. Well, I'm doing all that. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Just because it may take some time for those to come to knowledge of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean we just give up and just throw our boots in the corner and just say, God, it doesn't work. I'm telling you, it does work. The gospel does change a life. It really does. It changed my life. It changed your life. It changed your life. It changed yours. It changed yours. It changed yours. It changed yours. So what are we doing with this changed life? We have a responsibility to live this Christian life. We have a responsibility, dear believer, that we should be diligently working and seeking the lost. You know, it's easy preaching. It's hard living. I understand that. It's easy preaching. It's hard when people don't want to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, it can be like, Lord, I don't understand why they don't want to receive. But I think about the depravity of man and say, God, I understand. They're only doing that which is natural. They're only sinners. And we have to be faithful in giving out the message of the gospel of grace to people that need Jesus Christ. Oh, dear believer, we have such a great responsibility. And lastly, for this morning, I'm going to be done. We're going to be done with this. Sharing what we possess is fruit. Sharing what we possess is fruit. Romans 15, verse 28, wherefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit. I will come by you into Spain. You know, Paul was referencing here. He was referencing here the missionary offering of the Gentiles for the poor saints there in Jerusalem. He called it a fruit of offering. You know, the early Christians in the book of Acts, they understood this giving to one another. And I'm talking about giving to one another is what I'm talking about. Because I believe that's where it starts. If we can give properly in the church house, we won't have a problem giving to those that are out on the field. I believe that. If we truly have a heart for God, we'll minister one another. We'll give of ourselves. You know, the Christians there in the book of Acts, they were bearing this kind of fruit, a fruit of sharing. You know, there in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and verse 45, all that believed were together and had all things common. We have something in common in Christ. Amen. We have that. We're a part of this family of God. And sold their possessions and goods and parted to all men as every man had need. You know, would to God that we would fill the needs of our own people, and that we would have a heart for one another. I believe it always starts at home first. It always does. if our home life is right, then our outreach will be right. If our relationship is right, everything else will be right. Oh, dear believer, it's so important that we share what we possess. You know, God has given you so much. You know, God has the right to bless you with things or to hold things from you. He has that right to do that because he wants you to understand it's all about this living relationship with Christ. You need to grow in him. I'm telling you, more that we become like Christ, and that's what we all want to become, more like Christ, do we not? Do we not want to be conformed into the image of Christ? Be more like him? I think we need to start thinking like him instead of thinking otherwise. And not compromising either. I'm not talking about compromise. I'm talking about if you really want to know Christ, get in that book. The book that you hold in your laps and really develop a real living relationship with him. It won't be long. You'll see what God has for you. You go, yes, God, I'll do that. It won't be a problem to share what you possess to one another. Because Christ says there in verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He says, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but hath called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Oh, but it goes, he says there in verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He also says there in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. If you love God correctly, you will love your fellow man. God lays it out. He instructs his disciples that way. Hey, if you love me supremely, you abide in me, you fellowship with me, I'm telling you, dear believer, you will love your fellow man with my love. Not with the love of the world, with my love. Because he says there in verse 10, I think it is, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. That's a condition. We have to keep his commandments. So it really helps us understand there's a relationship that we must maintain so that we fulfill our responsibility, our duty as a Christian. And we all have a duty. We all have a responsibility. God's commissioned it to us. Oh, dear believer, it's vitally important that we win others to Christ and help them grow. But we share what we possess. That unity. Because I believe wholeheartedly. I believe it. If there's no unity in the church, you won't reach out to the world. Because it deals with your vertical relationship first. Because if your vertical relationship isn't right, you will not love your fellow man the way God intends you to love them. Oh, dear believer, Christ admonished his disciples. And there's more that we can look into. There's a lot more there that Christ admonished his disciples. But we have a responsibility. You know, the key to real living, the Christian life, is fruit bearing, bringing honor and glory to God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your love and mercy. I thank you for your grace and your salvation. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would just have your will in your way, not our will, not if you want to work. Lord, you want to work. Lord, help us to yield to you. help us to submit to the authority of the Scriptures and to the controlling power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, have your way in our lives. Make us into your image. And I pray for the one that does not know you here this morning. I pray that they would talk to someone, that they would like to know more about this Jesus, that they truly would get born again, truly get saved, repent of their sin. Oh Lord, I pray that you would work this morning. Lord, I love you and I thank you for all that you will do. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Pastor?
Well, thank you, Brother Fair, for that message. And that was basically two messages there for the person who has maybe never trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe they've never come to understand that they are a sinner and in need of a Savior. And then the other message was for the believer, that we would be a fruit-bearing Christian. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus talked about, he gave the parable of the man that planted a fig tree and it bore no fruit. And the husband, and he told the husband, let's cut it down. The husband said, no, let's dung about it. Let's fertilize it. And let's wait another year. I feel like the husbandman sometimes. With my wife, we've got the three fruit trees in our backyard. We've got a peach and two cherries. And my wife's ready to cut down these two cherry trees that I think they had about two or three cherries between them this year. They're nice cherries, big cherries, beautiful. But they're not fruit-bearing. I guess we're doing something wrong. And I want to keep... I'm like, you know, let's figure out something. Figure out... Maybe they need more water. But right next to them is a peach tree that's just blossoming like crazy. And it's bearing fruit. And so, you know, as a Christian, God wants us to bear fruit. He wants to for His glory. So I'd encourage you to ask yourselves for the Lord and say, Lord, am I bearing fruit the way I ought to be? And if you say, you know what, I don't know for sure that I'm even in the vine. I don't know for sure that I've trusted Christ. I don't know for sure that I'm a believer. I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. You know, the Bible tells us we can know for sure. It's not presumptuous. 1 John 5:13 tells us that we can know for sure. These things have I written unto them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Based on that verse and many others, I know that I have eternal life. It's not based on the teachings of this church. It's based on the Word of God and His promises. And it's by repenting of being a sinner and putting our trust 100% in Jesus. I do this. I'm imagining a rope and putting my complete confidence in that rope. Well, I'm going to ask Brother Kuiper to come at this time, and we'll close this in a song of invitation. If you have any questions, if you want to spend some alone time with God, you can either come up here to the altar, kneel at the altar and spend some time praying, or you can pray to God right in your pew. Ask Brother Kuiper to come.
Take your hymnals, turn to 125. We'll stand as we sing Jesus Paid It All, 125.